Just a minute. I'm coming.
FBI, open up!
Just a minute.
Hello, everybody. This is Legal Man. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a good episode. I want to use a couple examples of COVID and consent in order to show people the insanity that we live in and the very weak reasoning of most people. And I want to explain to people how that's really helping to drive people crazy who get it, who get the system. And for people who don't know me, I'm a lawyer. I've practiced for more than 30 years. I'm America's most trusted and beloved lawyer because I tell them the truth, just like I do in this show. And the truth is that I was a constitutional conservative for years and years and years. And I believed all of the fantasies and the made-up nonsense about the freedom machine, the liberty, and the founding documents, and the amazing founders, and how the Constitution fits together, and the three branches, blah, blah, blah. And then about 25 years ago, I got the internet. And in fairly short order, I started figuring out that it was bullshit. It was a scam. I now had access to information. And when I figured that out, I became self-certified as a master practitioner. And I don't need constitutional conservative nonsense anymore. I've also given myself a Lifetime Achievement Award for the hundreds of podcasts I've made explaining the way the system actually works. And when Jones Plantation, the movie, came out, I gave myself the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest medal that any civilian can give themselves. And I gave that to myself for the incredible job I did in that movie. And I love having fake credentials and awards. I give myself them all the time because credentialing and awards are a complete and total scam. They are the way that the system controls people. They force people to learn all this officialdom and then to regurgitate it. And if you don't do it properly, they take your license, certification, registration, some kind of credential from you, and you can't practice your profession anymore. They do it with the doctors during COVID. You could all see the doctors and nurses. They spoke up. Academics that spoke up, they were destroyed. But they do it with everything. They do it certainly with the law. They do it with the people who have to cut your fingernails. You have to get a license for that. To color hair, you have to have a license to do that. Because everything the people are taught is just a pack of lies. And so they have to keep a very tight rein on it, and that's what they do. And so hopefully people will learn to mock all this credentialing and not pay attention to this sort of appeal to authority. Are you an expert? Kind of nonsense people throw around all the time. They discard somebody who has valid information if they aren't a so-called expert. And they don't understand that so-called experts have basically just learned a bunch of lies and bullshit in their officialdom. And they're just repeating it. So hopefully that will catch on. I really do hope so. Okay, enough about all that. Let's go ahead and start the show. So we're coming up on the 4-year anniversary of COVID. And I thought I would make a show because I'm seeing a lot of these clips and positions now about how nobody was forced to get the jab. And this is just another one of these issues. I've made lots and lots of shows about COVID and every other kind of portion of COVID and all the different angles of COVID for quite a few years there when we were in the midst of it. And now we've kind of come to the end of it in a lot of ways, even though the effects are still going to run on. And I want to make a few points about it because so many people, they're very, very confused. And the ability to think clearly is not very well defined in this culture. Most people are just complete idiots, from what I can tell, and incredibly arrogant. Just the amount of arrogance and ignorance that exists out there is amazing. You know, people who are just plain stupid, I really don't have a problem with those people as long as they kind of understand they're stupid, that kind of Forrest Gump, I'm not a smart man kind of guy. Well, I'm happy to help those people. It's these idiots who really think they're super smart and clever, smartest guy in the room, figured it out, and they're just morons. And of course, the constitutional conservatives constantly tell people that they're the smart ones for catching on to the liberal game. They can't see that they aren't the smart ones, that they're getting fooled out the ass by these constitutional conservatives. And of course, the COVID was a classic example. In fact, the entire reason I started my podcast was I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just could not believe what I was seeing. And I had an incredibly low opinion of the general public. And I knew that the people in media were horrible liars, but my God, when I saw the way the media was covering 100%, and nobody was bringing up the fact that the government has no authority to do any of the stuff they're doing. This is utter insanity. We can never turn this over to the government. When I saw that they were all just in lockstep like that for months, I just couldn't believe what I was saying, so I had to speak up. And of course, I've said since day one, they would never, ever have been able to pull that COVID shit off without Trump. If Hillary was in there, the constitutional conservatives and media would have had to have stepped up and pushed back against the insanity, the same exact stuff that Trump did. And it's just a bunch of revisionist nonsense, the way they act like he was forced to, and he's fooled, and he's tricked, and all this other crap. It's just hilarious to me. But the first thing I want to talk about right now is this idea that nobody was forced to get the jab. I hear this all the time. This is constantly playing out in the media. And there's two different sets of people who agree that nobody was forced. And that is the libs who want to continue to defend the shot and act as though there was free choice involved. And these people who are anti-vax, but who like to take this weird pseudo-intellectual position that there was still ultimately a choice and that you didn't have to do it, therefore you weren't forced to do it. That's the kind of position. And of course, Pfizer and all the government people are now constantly taking the position that nobody was forced to, nobody was forced to, you weren't forced to. You can watch compilation after compilation talk about how nobody was forced to, even though we all saw that the entire system ran on coercion and force. If you weren't going to get the jab, they made it clear you weren't going to be able to participate in society. You weren't going to be able to have a job. You weren't going to go out. You weren't going to be able to travel. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You won't be able to see your own parents in a home. You wouldn't be able to visit your kid in a hospital. You were going to be shut out of society. And there was endless examples of other force. You weren't allowed to travel back into the country unless you had a jab. If you traveled out of the country, you could not come back in unless you had showed proof of vaccination. How's that not force? Well, you don't have to travel. Well, they don't have any right to keep me from traveling. So it is force. That's what force is. It's the coercion. Force and coercion in those situations, they are indistinguishable in the law because they don't have any right to prevent you from leaving the country and traveling freely. They don't. They forced all sorts of federal workers to get the jab. They've kicked all sorts of people out of the military. To say that they weren't forced to get the jab is preposterous. If you want to continue in your career in the military, then you have to get the jab. That's what force is. If you just try to find a legal distinction between force and coercion, when it comes to forcing someone to do something or coercing someone to do something, you're not going to find one. The law doesn't recognize any such ridiculous distinction. And I've tweeted about it last week when they say that nobody was forced to, you weren't forced to get the jab, then using that same kind of definition set, you can say that nobody was ever forced to pay a kidnapping ransom because you're always free to simply say no and let them kill the person that was kidnapped and you just never see your loved one again. That's it. You had a choice. You decided to not pay them. That's it. There was no force involved. There was no force. You weren't forced to pay that ransom. You could have just said, I'm not going to pay and just let them kill them. There's no force. And when I posted that, a lot of people got it and understood how ridiculous it was. But a lot of people, like I said, were taking this preposterous position, somehow making this distinction that somehow choice somehow was the distinguishing feature between being forcing someone to do something and coercing them. And it's just not true. It's just not true. If you have a situation where something's happening, you say, well, I'll just get a court order and force you to. How can a court order ever force anyone to do anything using their definition? How? It can't. It can't possibly do it. You're not forcing. The court doesn't have the authority, the ability in any form or fashion to force you to do anything under their definition of choice. You can always just ignore the court order. Okay, they come and get you. They say you're in violation of the court order. So you have a choice then. You can go with them or not when they come to so-called arrest you. Okay. So all they're actually doing is dragging you off. You have a choice to either walk or not walk. Did you decide to walk? Yeah, you did. They didn't force you. They didn't force you. You walked. They can't force you to go downtown. They can take you downtown. You can sit in prison. The court order doesn't force you to do anything. See, and that doesn't make any sense. People talk about it all the time. that you can get a court order and force someone to do it. Force compliance with a court order. How? How do you force compliance using their ridiculous definition that if choice is the distinguishing feature, then there's always a choice. There's always a choice. They can't make me pay. They can't force me to pay a court order. How can they? They put me in prison. So they didn't force me. They didn't force me to pay it. They can attach my funds. They can drag the money out of my account eventually if they can get access to it. Okay, well, they still didn't force me to pay it. They just took it. It's not the same thing. So they didn't force me to pay. They took the money out. That's not forcing me to pay. See, so using their preposterous definition of you weren't forced on every side of it is absurd. When you're being threatened with something, the fact that some people can withstand greater amounts of threats and even greater amounts of physical force into somebody doesn't mean that there wasn't force and there wasn't coercion, because they're the same. If I come into your house and I have a gun and I tell you to give me your money and you just say, you're not going to give me your money, and I shoot you, okay, well, there you go. You weren't forced to give me your money. You weren't. I shot you and killed you. That's it. You weren't forced to. There was no force at all involved. I shot you, killed you, and I took your money. Walk into the house, I tell you I'm going to shoot your dog if you don't do something. Is there any coercion? Is there force? No, there's not force. There's no force. There's no force. I can't make you do something. It's not possible. Even if I grab your arms and you're resisting and I'm forcibly typing down something or assembling something or moving your body, you're still not forcing me to do it. You're just doing it with my body. And so this is the preposterous absurdity of the argument that nobody was forced to get the jab. They intentionally applied a tremendous amount of pressure to force people to do it. And again, force and coercion in that situation, the law doesn't recognize any kind of distinction. Even if I walk in and punch you in the face, that's not forcing you to do it. That's just threatening, in effect, that I will apply more physical punishment to you until you do agree. That's not forcing you to do it. It's not forcing you to do it. You have a choice. You can just allow me to beat you into submission, beat you into unconsciousness. You're not being forced to do it. This is the absurdity, trying to draw a distinction between the amount of coercion and the idea of a choice and distinguishing that from being forced. Lots of people feel compelled and forced and threatened by very small amounts of things. If you just might threaten to make them stand up in front of a crowd and admit that they don't want to do it, that might be enough for a huge number of people to not be willing to do it if they thought the crowd was against them. It's just the idea that they might get shamed. They might have to speak in public. They might have to say no out loud. That they may not be able to do it. To them, that's being coerced. That's forced. There's no difference. There's no difference. And it's important for people to understand these kinds of things, because these same kinds of arguments are the kinds of things that make it run on and on. Where they talked about a mandate, they talked about safe and effective, they talked about this, they talked about that, then they want to distinguish words. And the reality is that the situation is so fundamentally screwed up. The difference between something that's not being forced, like they're trying to argue now, and they're with a straight face, sworn in, arguing that they're not being forced, being allowed off the hook for these kinds of things, it's preposterous. No one even asks the idea that, well, if they're having to make this argument, why would somebody who put the vaccine out say that nobody is forced to do it and at the same time claim that it's safe and effective? It doesn't make any sense. The only reason that argument's even being raised now is because the vaccine's so obviously not safe and effective and is causing so many problems. How many people used to say that they were forced by their parents to do something? Say, once you get into this preposterous definition of forced, which literally makes no sense, there's literally no way to force someone to do something. There is no way to force them to do it. You can move their body around. You can move their body around. That's not the same thing as forcing them to do it, because there will always be a choice. There will always be a choice. And this is what the people, oh, they weren't forcing you because they weren't threatening you with prison. Well, how does that change anything? So force is only the threat of prison. So criminals are never using force. They're never using force because they can't put you in prison if you don't go along with them. See, none of it makes any sense. And that's why I wanted to point that out, because like every other part of the COVID narrative, and every other thing that starts getting publicity, the people screw it all up and they can't make sense of it. And they start using loosely defined phrases and words. It's true that lots of people gave in over nothing. The smallest amount of coercion, even the threat, the fear of potentially maybe even somewhere down the road having some tiny amount of coercion or force being applied against them was enough for them to give in. Just the fear of public opinion was enough to coerce most people. But that doesn't change the fact that there were a tremendous amount of people who were coerced and forced, which is the same thing, with threats against their own jobs, their right to make a living. Just drain all their money out of their bank account by not being able to work, lose their house. That's, believe me, that's forced. Legally speaking, that's forced. Just like in any other situation, you can't say that a court forced you to do something if all they did was issue an order. A court order is enforced in the definition they're using. It's not. And so that needs to be put to rest finally and completely, and people need to stop going down that road and understand that that makes no sense whatsoever. And of course, another reason I bring it up is because saying that nobody was forced to and having people defend that, not because they thought the jab was safe, but the people who didn't think the jab was safe and want to run down the other people who gave in to the force and coercion that was applied against them. Those same kind of people need to understand that that's simply the opposite end of the consent argument that's provided, that we consent somehow to all of this stuff. Consent in those circumstances is being used in just as distorted a fashion, that you consent to all of this abuse by simply being alive in this country. That if you're alive in this country, you consent to the abuse, because voting certainly isn't consent. They claim voting is consent, but if voting was consent, then when you vote, then you would have to get whatever it is you were voting for, but you don't. You don't get what you're voting for. If voting was consent, then when you didn't vote, that would be non-consent. And when you don't consent, then you would no longer be obligated to participate and be subject to any of the stuff the government did. There's nothing consensual going on in this country when it comes to the government. You don't have any opportunity to actually consent or dissent. If someone told you that you can consent to this contract or not, and a contract here, they put it in front of you and there were really no terms to it, and they say, well, you can sign it or not. If you agree to sign it, and then they just fill the terms in later, have you consented to it? Of course not. Of course not. And that's the thing, that you haven't consented to those terms. That's the same thing with the voting, because when you vote, the guy doesn't have to do anything he says. He can't even do anything he says. He has absolutely no real power because they have less than 0.25% at a federal level. So even if he wanted to do everything, he can't. And so there's no consent there in any kind of legal sense. Say, there's no possible way that there's any legal consent going on in any form or fashion with voting or anything else in this country, because literally none of the legal agents have any obligation to you, and nobody can even tell you what it is they might do, and they don't have the ability to go do any of this stuff they said they're going to do. Just to say they're going to go up and vote a certain way and that they're going to lose, well, who would consent to that? I consent to losing on this issue so long as my guy goes up and votes for it. That doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to consent to that. And you can't consent to simply turning your life over to somebody to do whatever they want with it. That's not possible unless you are literally non-compos mentis, in which case you don't have the ability to consent. As a legal matter, someone who has the ability to legally consent cannot consent to what they purport to claim I have consented to, which is to have a government just make up any laws it cares to, and then to decide for itself whether or not those laws are applicable, constitutional, enforceable, and then that they were properly enforced against me, and that therefore my punishment is proper. It's not even possible to consent to a situation like that. People are so confused by the term consent. They're so bamboozled by it, the same way they are about being forced to. Forced to. Every single fundamental issue in this country is completely and totally confused at a very, very, very fundamental level. Intentionally, of course. And this is all done so that the people can be controlled. And It's so obvious and so blatant at this point that it truly makes me wonder what possible chance we have. And when I look at the kinds of people who are out there, I just think, I don't see how it can work, guys. I don't see how it can work. I don't see a group of people who are anything like me. I see a group of people who behave in a fashion that literally makes no sense. And when people behave in a fashion that literally makes no sense, then I have to question whether or not they're anything like me. I have to question whether they're anything like me. And when I look at what happened with this COVID insanity, where they wheeled a disease in, told people that it was this horrible, dangerous thing, showed video clips of people supposedly keeling over dead suddenly in China, just walking along and keeling over, and used that to stir up the fear of this imaginary boogeyman virus that they then got on the media and whipped up terror about for weeks and weeks and weeks until Trump came out and had an emergency declaration and shut the country down when really nobody was sick. Even the claims they were making at the time was just maybe 1,500 cases or something had been found in the United States using their phony baloney test. And based upon that information, the country was locked down and closed. See, when you have a situation that preposterous and the people buy into it and they're scared and they're okay with 15 days to flatten the curve and all this other nonsense, and then it plays out like it did, which is it's shown again and again and again that almost nobody knows what's going on. Very few people ever get anything more than a flu. That the difference between what some people seem to get and what other people seem to get, even though they called them the same thing, they didn't make sense together. The dangerous bioweapon that was killing some people in New York and in other states had no relation whatsoever to the mild flu symptoms and the non-symptoms that they also claimed that the disease also caused. And when you had that incredible total and complete disconnect between what you're being told by so-called health experts, what you can witness with your own eyes, that the hospitals are packed, they're overflowing, they're crowded, you can't get in, and then you go and you look, like I did, and the hospitals are empty, and they start an entire page called Film Your Hospital and a hashtag, which then gets taken down because everybody who was going to film the hospitals around them was showing they were empty. And you have yet another string of these inconsistencies that everybody's going to get it, and then nobody around me's got it, and then that it can be anything from no symptoms to killing you. Well, the only people who are dying were people who are going to hospitals. There weren't people dying other places. And calling that thing the same so-called disease literally makes no sense. Nobody was raising the issue of, well, look, they could be calling anything COVID. We don't know what COVID is. They're giving us this test that makes no sense, that's being cycled at this incredible rate. No one cares. I remember the early times. They want to tell me that certain types of constitutional conservative guys in media were on board. Bullshit. I was watching it the whole time. They were not. At all times that mattered, they were not. And then, of course, the entire conversation turned to this Operation Warp Speed nonsense, and that we were going to have this vaccine before we could open the country up again, and that we're going to have to stay locked down while they pay trillions and trillions of dollars and closed businesses but left liquor stores open. And it's like, okay, well, how does this make any sense? None of it makes any sense. And then we move on to a new phase where the liberals are all saying they're never going to take a jab. It's too dangerous. And we got Operation Warp Speed. And Trump loses the election. They have that insanity going on. And then they bring Biden in. And as soon as Biden's in there, now the liberals are all on board with the vaccine, even though the vaccine was developed before Biden. And he rolls it out. They tell you how safe and effective. And they tell you how the jab, if you get the jab, you can't get COVID and you can't give anybody COVID. And then that changes. And that goes into, well, all it does is reduce symptoms. And then it doesn't even do that. And then you're having to get a booster. And then you have to get another booster and another booster and another booster and another booster. Regardless of what they say, it's not making sense. And so you have this entire thread going on for a year, 2 years 3 years worth of this insanity, of flip-flopping and shit that makes no sense. And now we're at this stage where they tell you you're never forced to, even though you can watch video clip after video clip with all the different ways they were forcing people. They were coercing people. There's no difference in the law. I just showed you. Hi, it's Legal Man. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you appreciate the unique insight and information I provide, then go over to my Patreon account for The Quash and become a member. I have bonus shows and material, early access, and it's a good place to meet like-minded people. I have people ask me all the time, what can we do, Legal Man? Well, start by voting with your pocketbook. It's the only vote that really counts. Support things that tell people the truth. Getting people to understand the truth is the only solution we have to this insanity. Look, I get it. There are a lot of people who can't afford to support my show with money. But there are a lot of people who can. And if you can and you like the show, you should support it. That's what free markets look like. The people running this scam, they have unlimited funding. I don't have support of that system. In fact, I get harassed because I tell people the truth that they don't want the people to know. So we have to stick together. So go sign up. Now let's get back to the show. And now we're at this stage where they tell you you're never forced to, even though you can watch video clip after video clip with all the different ways they were forcing people. They were coercing people. There's no difference in the law. I just showed you. And still, the people will go on. They'll make excuses for Trump that he was fooled. He was tricked. He had to do it. I get that one all the time. He had to do it. He had to close the country down. He didn't have to do it. If he had to do that, then all sorts of people had to take the shot. If having some coercion from the fact that he might get some bad press and somebody inside him was telling him to do it, if that's making him do it, then you can't have both sides that he wasn't forced to do it. Oh, he was forced to do it. So Trump was forced to, but nobody was forced to take it. Trump was forced to have his reactions. But this is what I'm saying is this: the insanity over and over and over again of these positions that make no sense, that the experts tell you one thing, the next day they're telling you another thing, the next sentence they're telling you another thing, then after that they're telling you they never told you that, and you can play on the videotape and they still deny it. It reminds me of that hilarious scene in the movie Enemy of the State, where Will Smith is the lawyer and he's in there with the mob boss and he shows them the videotape in the beginning. And the mob boss is not allowed to leave the country. And the tape is of him out of the country meeting with these other mobsters who he's also forbidden to meet with. And it was shot undercover in somebody's hat. And it's clear as day. They got a nice close-up of his face and show him the video. And he says, so that's not you. And he's looking at it and he says, nah, that's not me. He goes, well, it sure looks like you. And he goes, yeah, but it's not me. Obviously, it's him. Obviously, he's lying. People put up with that exact same amount of ridiculousness from government officials, people who were brought up to testify to Congress, and nothing happens. Their politicians take two different sides. Nothing happens. And what drives me insane, and what I think is one of the reasons that's very closely related to the brainwashing and the gaslighting that's driving people crazy, I made that entire episode about, is another very subtle version of it, which only affects the people who get it. See, we are forced to live within a population of people who will continue to make excuses for this system, despite what they just saw with that one single event. Forget the fact that we just saw that the CIA has now been discovered to have been operating in the Ukraine for 10 years prior to the time Russia invaded, making a secret war on Russia, which we already knew. Anybody with half a brain knew it. But it was denied and denied, denied. Now it comes out and still they'll just go on and on about how Russia was responsible. Russia did this and we were the good guys. And they will continue to make excuses for it. And this is the part, I think, that makes it so crazy making that if you are one of the brainwashed people, which is the vast, vast majority of people, they're the brainwashed people. They truly believe this nonsense. They run around and spew these slogans that they're given from the con-cons and media. What they don't see is the fantastic contradictions in their own position, just like I showed you with that narrative from COVID, how much it changed. They started out believing all the experts, telling us we have to, and they're the greatest, and on and on and on, just like Trump did. and that we have to get the vax, and the vax is great and all, but there's no one's being forced to, and we got to have mandates and on and on. And Trump, to this day, continues to brag about the way he handled the situation and locked the country down and committed warp speed, and that the vax saved millions of lives. That's still his position. And yet, those people continue to defend and support him. And this is the part that's crazy making for anybody who's listening to it. It's completely crazy making. But the regular population experiences in some form or fashion the ability on whole to simply forget or deny how inconsistent and ludicrous all the positions are that they take in all these different things. It's hardly limited to COVID. They're somehow magically capable of blocking it out, some kind of mental defense mechanism that prevents them from seeing how ludicrous and preposterous it all is, and how therefore their own positions literally make no sense. But the people who can see, people like me and the people who listen to my show, we have an extra layer of gaslighting that makes it almost unbearable. What's the difference between this and living in the Soviet Union under the commissars, or living in China, Chaikom China, or living in North Korea? What's the difference between that and what we live under when it comes to this stuff? What is it? What is it? What's the difference? Is there any difference? Yes, there is a big difference. And the difference is that the people in those situations can recognize that they are living under a tyranny and that it's a complete joke, and they just go along. They offer lip service to the government and the situation in order to avoid direct punishment. Just like they used to in the old Soviet Union, they would say, everybody knows that we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. Okay, well, there's a camaraderie there. Sure, you got to worry about who might be a specific KGB agent or informant. You do. Of course you have to worry about that. But as long as they weren't that, then you had a camaraderie. You understood that you're stuck in this kind of prison situation, no different than a POW camp, where you kind of get along with the people. Everybody knows the place sucks and you can make jokes about it. No one's pretending it's fantastic and wonderful. But in our country, the big problem is the extra layer of insanity that's applied to people like me and the people who get it, is that you have to live among a population that runs around and defends the situation, actively defends the situation, as though the situation is defensible and explainable and excusable and makes sense, and that their guy is going to fix it. That extra layer is unbelievably damaging to have to experience all the time. It's totally isolating. It's completely isolated. It's an extra layer beyond the fact that the insanity you have to live in from the media. You have to experience it from all the people themselves. Tons of people you care about. You can lose friends, family members, all these kinds of things. You're stuck with having to engage these people who, they act like automatons. What they say makes no sense. It's utterly and completely impossible to continue to defend this system and to pretend that this is the greatest system ever invented, that it's a freedom machine, or anything else that you hear about this country. It's completely and totally impossible to defend it on the facts. All they ever defended on is this idea that somehow in the future it's going to get better, or that somehow in the past when they weren't around, it was better. Never the experience we're having. Always these experiences in the future and experiences in the past that we didn't experience. Always this made up nonsense. They believe these stories from the past, and you have to interact with these people. And that extra layer, it's just getting to the point where it's so difficult for me to have to be around them. Because when I look at the COVID thing, the most amazing thing to me at this point is not so much that the people fell for every single one, even though they did over and over and over. But it's that here now, at the end of all of that, they still make excuses for it and still continue to believe that the system could somehow be salvageable, that these were mistakes, and that somehow next time it could be fixed if we had the right people in there. That's the part that's the most amazing to me, the ability of the people to continue to make excuses for their system and for this belief system they have. They're so incapable of letting go of the belief they have. They cannot face the reality that's in front of them. That's the most incredible thing to me. That no matter how much abuse, how much inconsistency, how much absurdity, how much internal contradiction and asinine nonsense they're subjected to, how much abuse is heaped on them, they will continue to defend that system. And that is the part to me that really is the big difference in having to live inside this ridiculous so-called freedom machine versus some kind of totalitarian state where the people would all understand that you're either involved in the abuse, working for them and connected, or you are one of the abused. And there's only a small number of people who are not part of that giant mass being abused. But in this country, even the people who are being abused run around and defend it as though somehow this abuse they're taking is not real abuse, just like they're actually giving their consent, just like nobody was forced to get the jab, just like every other insane thing that they believe that literally makes no sense. And I just can't take having to be around those people. And the problem is, it's the vast, vast majority of people. So many people pretend to wake up, imagine they're waking up, and then they tell me all about voting and their guy and the Constitution, getting back to it. That is the part that kills me, is that if this amount of evidence is not enough, if literally hundreds of trillions of dollars in unfunded liability debt they've thrown us into in order to have this absurd police state, it's still not enough for you to catch on that voting's never going to work. This Constitution doesn't limit jack shit. It's all a scam. If COVID doesn't, where they literally just destroyed millions and millions of people's lives and businesses, just destroyed them. And you want to continue to just somehow to defend the system as though it could be this and your guy that. I live through it, people. It's just a bunch of revisionist history. Anybody who's still standing there defending this stuff, they can't be reached. They can't be reached. And I can't think of anything that could happen at this point that would make people catch on to what's happening. I can't think of anything. Because if what they've lived through with this insanity of Biden isn't enough to make you realize that the system you're told, the Constitution, the president, the Congress, and all that shit, none of it's true. It can't be. You can't have this mess of the border and then tell me that the border is safe and secure and locked down and tell me there's no crime problem and then see this insane spending and inflation and tell me that everything's been brought under control and that you can see Biden walking around like a dementia patient and they tell me he's vigorous and mentally alert and actually the sharpest this and sharpest that. If you can't see that nothing gets done about it, nobody's going to prison. Your so-called politicians are incapable of doing anything. If they're incapable, well, then that just shows you the system can't work. If they're on board with it, then that shows you the system can't work. If you can't get enough people in there in order to change it, then that shows you the system can't work. Every single thing shows you that the system can't work, and yet the people continue to repeat this nonsense about how the system is not the problem, and that we're the problem, and they believe that shit, even though they're not the problem, of course, personally, because they are involved, but their involvement hasn't done anything. You literally can't get through to them. It's like talking to a crazy person, and I really, really wonder how many of those people are, in fact, sane, by my definition. And I would say that a tremendous amount of people are not sane, that a very, very small number of people, in fact, are sane at this point. And being forced to live amongst a group of insane people like this, it's really damaging to my mental health. I can tell you right now, it's really damaging to it. And so I have a lot of sympathy for people who get it and who are struggling out the ass, just trying to get through a day, get through this period, because it's not going to improve. See, it's not going to improve. This is a very, very depressing thing that has to be come to grips with. It's not going to improve. It's going to get much, much worse. So you're going to have to make accommodation for that. Exactly what that means, I don't know. I have my own plan I'm attempting to execute on to the extent it can work. Maybe I can buy myself some protection and freedom from the insanity, but it would allow me maybe to go and live in a way that I really never had to interact with people or almost never had to. And I could just surround myself with some animals and maybe a small group of close friends or something. That's it. Because this is almost impossible to keep my head screwed on straight. And things like, nobody was forced to, everybody consents to this, don't worry. We're going to put Trump back in there, the man that gave us all of this insanity for COVID and just the endless excuse making. I can't know what to make of this. I really can't. 4 years since that insanity, this whole world has completely collapsed. It's just collapsed. Nothing works like it did prior to COVID. Nothing works like it did prior to COVID. There's endless things that are unexplained. Endless things that are unexplained. And the stuff you can't observe, it's just completely wrecked. For people to continue to believe that it's somehow going to turn around, it's just a fantasy, people. You have to dissuade yourself from that fantasy and face facts and make a plan that deals with reality. You have to. Otherwise, you're just going to screw yourself even worse. That's just the reality. So, well, I'm not sure I want to say anything else about it way into the show at this point anyway. And so I'm going to go ahead and knock it off right there and pick it up again in another show, because I have a bunch of other things I want to say about that. But I really wanted to make a few of those points. It's so important to learn how to think clearly and not just to continuously repeat slogans and phrases. That's one of the reasons I like to do the Spooner episodes. He's a very clear, deep thinker, and it hopefully rubs off on people to realize that needs to be done in every part of your life when it comes to these issues. You need to get yourself consistent and understand what you're saying. Understand what it means. Understand the implications. Understand how it interacts with all these other things you say and believe. You really have to. Otherwise, they will just simply abuse you and take advantage of you endlessly, like they do. So, if you want to follow me, you can. I'm Legal Man of U.S. Crime Review, if this ever gets out to the public. And I want to thank you guys there on Patreon who support my show, make it worth my time to make the show. You kick skin in the game. You don't have to, but you have a lot of integrity. And I know this, that anybody who gets into the Patreon and actually listens to my shows from the beginning will understand the way the system works. I don't know how many people ever even do that. I really don't. But if they do, they will understand the way the system works. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. No idea how long it would take to actually do that. But however much time it would take to listen to those shows is still way less time than it would ever take for you to figure it out on your own. That's just reality. So thank you to everybody who supports that. And I also want to thank anybody who's supporting that new Barnum World we've got over there at Indiegogo. I'll put the link in there again. Thank you. I think it's a great project. If people want us to do it, then we'll do it. And if people don't have enough interest to do it, then we won't waste our time and do it. It's not complicated. I think it's a great project. I think it has an opportunity in a very non-political way to make points that people need to hear. And we don't have to reach everybody. Really only need, you know, that sort of 10-15 kind of percent to make huge, huge difference. Huge, huge difference. So thank you to anybody who's supporting that project. It's going to be up for a little bit longer. I think it's got like another 35 days or something to run. If we don't meet the funding, then we're not going to do the project. It's really just that simple. So thank you to anybody who does kick skin in the game. And you guys already know about Jones Plantation. It's still out there. No word yet from the Amazonian overlords whether or not it's been approved. It's still sitting in so-called review. And I'll let you know when that gets released. But thank you to anyone who supports that project at JonesPlantationFilm.com. And beyond that, I don't have anything to say, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have been a great audience as usual. Everybody have a nice another day wherever you are. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Let's put your hands together one more time for Legal Man.